بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وقائد مسيرتنا العبد المؤيد ورسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الغر الميامين. My dear and respected brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It has been narrated and documented that the Prophet, the Holy Prophet, said, حسين مني وأنا من حسين، أحب الله من أحب حسين. حسين is from me and I'm from حسين. And Allah loves whoever loves حسين. I would like to, for the next 30 minutes, I would like to reflect with you, my dear brothers and sisters, on this short saying of the Prophet. This is a great testimony of the Prophet when Imam Hussein alayhi salam. What does this short saying mean? What does the Prophet really mean when he says Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn? Some say that what the Prophet meant is he's my grandchild. And I am his grandfather. This is a very evident meaning. The Prophet doesn't mean to take the time and say this. Everybody knows that Hussein is his grandson. And if I have a grandson, I don't need to go out and say he is my grandson and I am his grandfather. It would be meaningless statement. And we know that the Prophet was so eloquent. He was so meaningful. And therefore the Prophet didn't mean this. What the Prophet meant is exactly what Imam Hussein did and demonstrated in the day of Ashura. In the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein was facing an army of, some say 70,000, some say 30,000. The minimum say there were 18,000 people who came to fight with him. Let's say 18,000 with 72 companions. Imam Hussein, before the war starts, he rides a horse that was known to be owned by his grandfather, Rasulullah. And the name of the horse is Dhul Jinah. And this horse has another tale that probably some other time, either me or my dear brother, Samahat Sayyid Hussein, will speak about how loyal this animal was to Imam Hussein. How loyal this animal was to the Prophet himself. More loyal than many human beings who betrayed the family of the Prophet. Imam Hussein was riding this horse. And he was wearing a special turban belonged to his grandfather. And he was wearing the robe of the Prophet. And he was carrying a copy of Quran that belonged to the Prophet. And then he addressed the audience. He addressed his enemies. He gave 7 sermons before he engaged in the fighting. What Imam Hussein was trying to say to those people? He was trying to say to them that you are fighting Rasulullah. When you choose to fight me, you are fighting the Prophet himself. When you choose to fight with Imam Hussein, you are declaring war against the Prophet himself. For Hussein is the real embodiment of his grandfather. For Hussein alayhi salam represents the values of his grandfather. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, our seventh Imam, he visits his grandfather Imam Hussein. And he addresses Imam Hussein with beautiful and eloquent words. And ever since Imam al-Sadiq visited his grandfather, and he addressed his grandfather Imam Hussein with those words, we, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, we tend to visit Imam Hussein using the same words Imam al-Sadiq used. Something that is traditionally known as ziyarah. So you visit Imam Hussein, you address Imam Hussein with those words. The first thing Imam al-Sadiq addresses his grandfather with, he says, As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adam wa sakhwatillah. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Nuh al-Nabiyillah. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Ibrahim al-Khalilillah. السلام عليك يا وارث موسى كليم الله السلام عليك يا وارث عيسى روح الله السلام عليك يا وارث محمد حبيب الله Peace be upon you, the inheritor of Adam, Abraham, Noah, Moses, Jesus and Muhammad. What did he inherit? Did he inherit their properties, their assets? The structures, what did he inherit? When Imam al-Sadiq speaks about inheritance, what does he mean by this word? He inherited them. What did he inherit? He inherited their legitimacy. He inherited the message they were obligated to deliver to people. He inherited their stand. Meaning that in the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein was not representing that individual, the son of Fatima and the son of Ali and the brother of Hassan and the brother of Zainab. He was representing the whole Prophet of Allah, from day one till the last Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He represents them all in his stand. And this answers the question to many Muslims who ask nowadays, why do we commemorate Imam Hussein? Why do we go every year to a place called Islamic Center or Mosque or Husseiniyah or whatever to commemorate Imam Hussein? Why? A man who died, who was killed 14 centuries ago, why we keep mourning him every year? What's a big deal about this guy? We have to understand that when we mourn Imam Hussein, we are not mourning an individual. Our 12th Imam, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajjalallah Faraja, he also addresses his grandfather. If you have that book, Mafatih Al-Jinan or Diya Al-Salihin, you can find it there. Read what he says to his grandfather. He says, لَقَدْ قَتَلُوا بِقَتْلِكَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَعَطَّلُوا بِكَ الْحَلَالَ وَالْحَرَامِ He says, وَمَزَّقُوا بِكَ الْقُرْآنِ He says, when they killed you, in reality, they attempted to kill Islam. And when they ripped you off, they ripped Quran off. And they violated the very holy message of Allah that was revealed to His Messenger. The Umayyad dynasty did not have a personal conflict with Imam Hussein. It wasn't about personal conflict. They had two enemies in mind, Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Because they knew that the Prophet, when he left, when he departed, he said something that all Muslims, despite of all their differences, whether those who are in the extreme left, or then in the extreme right, or those who are in the middle. All Muslims record this hadith. إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمُ الثَّقْلَيْنِ I am leaving among you two heavy things. مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا لَن تَظِلُّوا بَعْدِي أَبَدًا As long as you adhere to those two things, I assure you, your Muslims won't go astray. What are those things? Two things. Kitab Allah. Kitab Allah. Wa'itrati Ahl Bayti. The Book of Allah and my holy progeny. If you adhere to them, I assure you Muslims, you won't go astray at all. Now, the Umayyad dynasty, they were very cunning and intelligent. They knew that the power of Islam rests in those two heavy things, in Quran and Ahlul Bayt. And in order to eradicate this faith and to undermine the effort of this just newly departed prophet, we target those two things. We target his legacy. If we target his legacy, we target Islam. Let's target Quran. And let's target the family of the prophet. And Imam Ali alayhi salam one day says a beautiful statement. He takes Quran and he says, هذا هو القرآن الصامت وأنا القرآن الناطق. This Quran that we read and we adore, this is the silent revelation of Allah. While I am the speaking, the outspoken revelation of Allah. Because I just represent the embodiment of this Quran. I translate Quran into actions. And this is exactly why there was a household needed for Quran to be interpreted. The Prophet could have said, I'm leaving Quran and that's it. Quran wasn't enough. Quran itself was not enough to keep people immune, to keep them safe and sound. Quran itself needed an interpreter, a translator. Someone takes Quran into actions, and that was the family of the Prophet. And if it was not the family of the Prophet, people could not have realized, could not have sought truth. Exactly like people needed the Prophet in order to know who Allah is. Quran only was not enough. Allah had to send the Prophet plus Quran so people could be guided. A human element plus a divine element. This combination can bring guidance to people. Otherwise, Quran itself or the family of the Prophet itself couldn't do the job. Therefore, the Umayyad dynasty knew whom they are targeting. They are targeting the embodiment of the Prophet. Once they target him, they are targeting the Prophet and Quran. They are targeting Islam. That's the bottom line, to target Islam. And if they target Islam, then they can achieve their goal. Now, if you come and scrutinize the biography of this man, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, especially during last few days of his life, which is the highlight of his entire life. Imam Hussein lived on earth 57 years. And we always focus on the last few months of his life, and particularly on the last day of his life, since that last day of his life, which is the day of Ashura, the day in which he was killed, it reflects his entire personality. Imam Hussein alayhi salam had enough reflections, enough teachings to reflect on that day to reveal his real personality. And when you look at it so closely, you find Imam Hussein is a real duplicate of the Prophet. Let me give you a few examples so quick. One, when we go to the Prophet, we Muslims read in the history of the Prophet that the Prophet was the application of that ayah in the Quran. What ayah in the Quran? Allah mentions, speaks about the Prophet, He says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah has sent you to be a mercy, a mercy. I would like to underline the word mercy. The Prophet was a mercy to entire humanity. He came to save the humanity. He came to teach us, to guide us, and He was a real mercy to a society whose national sport was raiding each other, killing each other. Women were being raped every day, every night actually. When darkness sets in the Arabian Peninsula, fighting and warring tribes would kill each other. They kill the male 15 and up and keep the kids as war prisoners as well as all women and female after raping them. The Prophet came to put an end for this chaos, for this disgrace, for this humiliation, for this backwardness. The Prophet came to be mercy, not only for the Arabian Peninsula, but for the entire mankind. And I can go on and on for hours to show you how merciful the Prophet was throughout his life. But one stunning stand from the Prophet, when he was going to that cave in Mecca, probably those who went to Hajj this year, they went to that cave. Cave Jabal al-Nur and Ghar Hara. The Mount Nur. In the top of Mount Nur, there is a cave. The Prophet used to go for almost 10 years or probably more and worship Allah in that cave, on the top of the mount. After he became a messenger of Allah, when he comes back, when he used to come back I would rather that we would stop this after I finish in the 5 minutes we have, so the basket would be distributed, because I see that this is distracting some of us. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Right after my presentation. No, that's okay. So, while he was coming back, now Mecca was boiling against the Prophet. They tried every other way to silence this man. Read Quran. Read Quran and find out that in many verses in the Quran, the whole purpose of the Quran to give comfort to the Prophet. When Allah speaks about the agony of Moses and Jesus and David and Solomon and all other prophets, and partly the purpose is to give comfort to the Prophet, because the Prophet was so depressed and anguished to see his own people rejecting him, not only rejecting him, but also doing what is called nowadays character assassination. They used to call him names. Names, all different names. The worst one is insane. He was insane. Or magician. And that was so painful for the Prophet. So he comes back. And I assure you, this could be more painful of physical injuries. And I always quote this saying from an Arab poet. The Arab poet says, جَرَحَتُ السِّنَانُ لَهَا الْتِيَامُ وَلَا يَلْتَامُ مَا جَرَحَ اللِّسَانُ. If someone physically injured, you may anticipate his healing in a few days. This happens to me, this happens to you, to all of us. When we physically injured, after a few days, we heal. It takes probably a week or so, or less or more, for us to heal. But the words, negative words, accusations someone may make against someone else, it may take years to heal. And probably they would never heal. The wounds you may cause by your words to someone may never heal. The Prophet was listening to this. He is a human being. He is filled with emotions. He is made of flesh and bone. So he was coming back from his cave home. Meccans decided to set him up, to ask their children,
When the Prophet is passing by you, you throw stone on him. You stone him. He comes back so bloody. So bloody. All over. The blood was all over his body. Especially his feet. He comes home. His wife Khadija was so shocked. And she was so devoted and affectionate wife, that she could not see the scene of her beloved husband, the Prophet of Allah, being bleeding. She comes to the Prophet, she hugs him, she treats his wound, and she takes care of the blood. And then she says, Ya Rasulullah, ud'u alayhim. Please curse those people, condemn them. If you do so, I'm sure that Allah will answer your prayers. He says, no, Khadija, I would not pray against them. I pray for them. Bu'ithtu rahmah. Allah sent me to be mercy for those people. Those people deserve help. They don't deserve condemnation. Because they don't know better. They're ignorant. And out of their ignorance and a prejudice, that's why they are doing this to me. But if I succeed in educating them, guiding them, they no longer will do this to me. Therefore, my job is not to curse them. I'm not about to take revenge. Remember, the first night I spoke, when the Prophet was emotionally moved and he swears to kill as many as 100 people out of revenge for the death of his uncle, Allah says to him, no. Jibreel says, no. No, Ya Rasulullah. In Islam, there is no space for revenge. You cannot take revenge. You can implement justice, but you cannot take revenge. You're a prophet of Allah. You cannot take revenge. You cannot retaliate. You cannot treat people accordingly. You see this embodiment of Rasulullah in the day of Ashura. You see the personality of Hussein reflecting the personality of his grandfather. The night before Ashura, the eve of Ashura, the night in which the next day Imam Hussein was killed in. Imam Hussein, he takes a moment, he goes and stands up on a hill near his camp, looking at the desert full of light. What light? Because there were, whatever, 18, 70,000, I don't know, thousands of soldiers who came to fight with him. They all lit torches. And now the desert is full of light. Imam Hussein stood up on the hill looking at the desert filled with thousands of soldiers who lit the entire desert, who illuminated that desert. Looking at them. Just staring for a few moments. His sister Zainab was so worried about him that he could be assassinated at any minute. So wherever he goes, she is behind him looking closely at him. She noticed her brother is there looking at his enemies. She came from behind somehow that Imam Hussein did not realize her existence, her presence behind him. So she noticed that Imam Hussein is staring at his enemies while tears are coming through his cheeks. She did misread her brother. She misread Imam Hussein. She came so gently, so kindly. She came from behind and she says, my brother, I know you're a very brave man. You're the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. The man whose name was enough to terrify, to be mentioned, was enough to terrify his enemies. You're the son of that man. You're son of Fatima, who challenged the tyrant of her time. You're the grandson of Rasulullah, who challenged his people. Why you're crying? Are you terrified? Are you scared? Imam Hussein smiled. He says, no, my dear sister. I'm not crying because I fear those people. I'm not crying from those people.
I cry for those people. I feel sorry for them. أبكي لأني أرى جيشا يدخل النار بسببي.
I cry because I see a whole army entering hell because of me.
I don't want to see this. My grandfather was the prophet of mercy. He came to save people, not to cause them to go to hell.
And I know that if those people choose to fight me, they are choosing to fight with the prophet, then they will be doomed. They will be predestined to the wrath of Allah. They will bring down the wrath of Allah on them. I don't want to see that. I feel sorry for that. I don't want to see this army going to hell because of me. I feel sorry for them. This is the real Islam, my dear brothers and sisters. Islam of Rahmah. Islam that knows no hatred. I read a hadith that a real believer of Allah, a true believer of Allah, he may get angered. He may get mad, but he never get hateful. No hate should be placed in the heart of the mu'mineen, the believers. No hate whatsoever. And even if you read Quran, Allah says that every Muslim should place his faith onto an equation of two wings. Loving Allah and disowning. Listen to the word, disowning the enemies of Allah. It doesn't say to hate the enemies of Allah, to disown them. And you know the difference between disowning someone and hating someone? When you hate, you develop that vicious feeling in your heart against him. But when you disown someone, you're not developing feeling in your heart, rather than you are expressing an action. You're saying, I'm not with him. I'm not with Yazid. I don't care to hate him or not. There is no place for me to hate anybody. A Muslim resents but does not hate. Like a mother who resents her child sometime, but she never hates her child. Because the heart of a mother does not know any hate. The heart of a Muslim, a believer, doesn't know hate. You have to devote your heart to Allah. And therefore, when you allow your heart to hate, you're not devoting your heart to Allah. You resent the enemy of Allah. You disown them. But you have no hate for anybody. When you hate someone, you wish him no good. A Muslim does not wish no good to any non-Muslim. He may disown him, but he wishes him the best. You want all people to be good people. Imam Hussein wished everybody, all people, to be guided. That's why he took it so hard to see them waging a war against him. He was so honest with himself. With his people. A man who was about to die tomorrow. He knows he will engage in a battle that will end by terminating his life, his own life. Look how honest Imam Hussein was with his own people, with his own followers. And instead of soliciting support from people, and instead of saying to his companions, please don't leave me alone. You know I will be killed tomorrow. Don't leave me alone. Imam Hussein was so courageous and honest. He gathers them all the night of his shahada, the night of his martyrdom. He says, Ashabi, those people, my companions, I want to tell you that those people, those soldiers, you see them? They all came to kill one person, and that's me. And if they get me, they don't care about anybody else. Those people came to kill me, to shed my blood. And they don't care about you. They will kill you if you defend me. But you leave me alone and go. They don't care about anybody else. The only person they are looking for, they are seeking, is me. They are seeking my bloodshed. So, I have an advice for you. Now, darkness sets. هَذَا اللَّيْلُ قَدْ غَشِيَكُمْ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ جَمَلًا. Take the night to be your transportation method. Take it as an excuse to leave. Because if you are embarrassed from me during the day, simply because there is light, you're embarrassed to leave. Now it's darkness. If you leave, I won't see you. And I want to protect your dignity. I don't want you to stay with me out of being embarrassed. You don't owe me anything. So please go and leave me alone. And let me face my shahada, my martyrdom. هذا الليل قد غشيكم. He didn't say to them, my followers, please stay with me. And whoever stays with me, I assure you that you would be either winning the war, and inshallah we will be the winners, or if you die, you will all go to heaven with me. He was so honest with them that he left it so black and white. He told them the real story. So nobody has any confusion. If you're following me for any other reason, I must be sincere and honest with you, and I have to tell you your destiny tomorrow. And I have to tell you what will be happening tomorrow. هذا الليل قد غشيكم فاتخذوه جملا. Just go. But he was bombarded with the most sincerest feeling this world ever knew since Allah created Adam till now. He was faced with the most purest and noble human feelings that a person, an individual, a human can express ever. They all said, we leave you. One says to Imam Hussein, and I'm concluding, he says to Imam Hussein, if Allah resurrects me, I choose to fight with you. And if I know that if this happens to me 1,000 times, that every time I am killed by you and near you, God will resurrect me so I can have another chance to fight with you, I am willing to do that for 1,000 times. In other words, I'm willing. If this happens, of course this doesn't happen. But if this was imaginable, that someone fights, he dies, and then he's resurrected. He says, even if I'm resurrected 1,000 times, this would not bar me from supporting him. I will keep supporting him. I will do anything I can to defend you. Because I believe from the bottom of my heart in you and in your mission. And that's why Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in the same ziyarah he makes to his grandfather, he calls them the supporter of the Prophet. Those people were the supporters of the Prophet. They didn't meet Imam Hussein. They didn't meet Rasulullah. But they met the duplicate, the representative of the Prophet. That's why they deserve this title. And I finish with this. Jabir, after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, Jabir, 40 days after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, Jabir was blind. He was a companion of the Prophet. He came to visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And when he was visiting Imam Hussein, after he visited Imam Hussein, he went to the shrine of his companions. They are all buried in one grave. He says, I swear that you are the supporters of Rasulullah and Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And then he says, and I swear that I have joined you. I have joined you in your struggle. His associate says, how did you join them? Those people were killed. They were trampled. They were dismembered and disfigured. You said you joined them? He says, yes. Because Rasulullah, I heard Rasulullah says, مَنْ أَحَبَّ عَمَلَ قَوْمٍ أُشْرِكَ فِي عَمَلِهِمْ. If you love a certain people's action, you will be joining them. And because I love their action and I love their stand, I know Allah will be joining me with them in the Day of Judgment. السلام على الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك. سلام الله عليك أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار.